This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Thank you. Please be seated. I have some good news. We are not going to talk about snakes today. Every time we turn on the television, it seems, or when my wife watches television, snakes appear and she's, no. So we're not going to talk about that. Instead, we're going to talk about John 3:16, the famous verse that everybody knows, right? It's been all over the world. The man, I actually know the man. If you would see basketball games, and this guy with a, he'd sit at with the rainbow hair. It's a lawyer from Broward County, did workers' comp, and somehow, well, he made a lot of money apparently, and he spent it all on baseball games and basketball games, and he usually had the 3:16 right there, wherever the camera was looking. So, and then Martin Luther famously called it the gospel in miniature, indicating it's the very heart of the Christian faith. Pretty much everybody knows, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. The very heart of our faith, that God loves the world. And we know this just even from Genesis. Everything God did to create the world, God saw it. God saw that it was good. This idea of giving his son part will resonate with parents who sacrifice for their children. It will resonate with soldiers who sacrifice for their country, with anyone that sacrifices for the one they love. This idea of everyone having eternal life, that's basic Christian hope, right? That is our hope. This sacrifice, the giving them one's best, these are all premised on one simple thing, that God has love for us. And again, when God created the world, God saw everything was good. God did it for love. When we make things, when we make a pie, when we build something, we tend to like it more. When we have our own garden, it just tastes better, right? Anything that we, quote, create or co-create, we like it more. But as we hear in the first reading from Numbers today, we are a lot like those people in the first reading that complain about stuff. Moses, we don't have any water. We don't have any, the food is, we have no food. And then 1 minute later it says the food's not very good. So they had food, they had water, but got to complain. So that's what we do, we get grumpy. So all of us, right, are like that at times. Maybe today, especially because it's really what someone keeps telling me, it's only 9 o'clock. but we've heard these stories of the grumbling, and then finally the people realize, you know, we're grumbling against you, God, and against Moses. Please help. And then he fashions this bronze serpent, etc. And people look it up to it, and they are helped, they are saved by that bronze serpent from the snake bites. So, but in the person of Jesus, we have this big shift, right? The New Testament. We find God's not as interested in retributive justice, not worried much about punishing offenders. We tend to punish ourselves, right? We find a God who seeks to forgive, a God who seeks to repair the hurt and not inflict more hurt. And as Apostle Paul says in his epistles today, God loved us even when we were dead through our trespasses, and he made us alive together in Christ. So our challenge, part of the reason we come together as a community, is to come back and recognize that God loves each one of us, every one of us, just how much God loves us. And then we truly appreciate the deep and abiding truth and our lives can change. I just read something. There's a lady up in Evergreen where I was from, and she does a quarterly newspaper article online, and she goes, I'm sitting here at this coffee shop. It's called the Muddy Buck in Evergreen. Great little place if you ever need to, if you're going up to the mountains, ski or something. Anyhow, she's sitting there and she's saying, I look out at all the people getting coffee and I have three thoughts. One, I'm loved, but they're not. Second one is, I'm not, but they. Think of the way you approach life. Do you approach life from one or two or three? And of course, if you approach life from I'm loved and you are also loved, changes your world, changes your outlook, changes your day. And that's what we're called to do. When we take responsibility for our actions and we seek healing for those who we've wronged, when we admit we've done wrong, we strive to do better. And that very image of God ignites in us again. And the loving, the way God loves us, we love others, and that whole outlook of life changes. So God, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And recently, a story of parents of a young child died of RSV. It's going around, and they're agonizing. Why didn't their Christian faith save their child? We hear these stories a lot. It just seems like the innocent sometimes are involved in getting killed in an accident or mayhem or just violence. And you can't quote John 3:16 to them at that point. It's not going to comfort them, right? So this is the time, as Marty says, Happy Lent. Happy Lent is the time to take stock now when things are fairly calm, right? And embrace this challenge of the gospel to swim against the stream of the way the world is swimming sometimes. Sometimes to let go of that delight and pleasure of the world that never really satisfies us. We call this time of Pink Sunday, Laudate Sunday, we call it Deep Lent. We cannot answer why sometimes evil seems so prevalent. And we just can't see our own choices at times. But this is also the time that we can think about it. We can kind of prepare for those dark days. So today I ask you to embrace that turning point, that embracing of John 3:16 for your future. And if you say this passage every day, for a week even, ask God how to embrace it, and you'll find a way. You'll find a way when you come up for the bread and the cup today. You'll find it as you reach out to other folks who are also lonely and lost. You'll find it that you'll move more into the light. You'll have different questions to ask, ones for which there are better answers. And a reminder, the only reason Jesus could walk towards the cross, because he dared to walk into the darkness. And we have to do the same thing if we're going to follow Jesus on the rest of our Lenten journey. We have to leave some things behind. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And I challenge you to cut out these words, place them on your mirror, and read them every day. Pray those words and make room for God to lift you up in your life. Amen.